Welcome to the Abnormally Funny People Show, sponsored by Barclays. For further information, please visit abnormallyfunnypeople.com. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Show 8 of Abnormally Funny People podcast, the first of 2015. Happy New Year to you. I'm Steve Best.
Hello, and I'm Simon Minty, and a Happy New Year to you, Mr. Best. On this month's show, we have two lovely guests, Charlie Swinburne, who's a journalist.
Hello.
And Ishan Akbar, who is a stand-up comedian.
Hello.
And at the end of the show, we'll have the competition entries and some listener emails.
So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show.
Contact us by email, podcast@abnormallyfunnypeople.com.
Welcome to our guests on this month's Abnormally Funny People show. First up, Ishan Akbar. Ishan is a writer, presenter, comedian and organiser of a comedy club, The Big Nose, in Kilburn.
Yeah, Big Nose Comedy.
That's nice. I like that. We actually met for the first time at the RADA.
Of all places.
Yeah, I know. But the RADA, if you don't know, is the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. Yeah. And it was a stand-up show there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a stand-up. It was their opening night of stand-up.
It was.
Yeah.
You were very funny.
Thank you.
That's why you're on the show.
That's why I'm on the show.
It's lovely.
So
lovely to have you.
And Charlie Swinburne. Charlie is a freelance journalist, writer and editor of the world's most popular blog on deaf culture, The Limping Chicken. Welcome to the show. And I think I've read this already, but for those who haven't, why is it called The Limping Chicken, Charlie?
It's all there from... there's a TV show involving deaf teenagers, and one of them is going to university. On her first day, the note taker said, I can't carry on taking notes for you. I've got to go home and look after my ill chicken, a limping chicken. And within 24 hours, 48 hours, there were tribute videos, all kinds of images on Facebook. Deaf people went crazy about this limping chicken, because also it summed up a bit of deaf life being let down in some way.
It's great to have you both on the show. Let's kick off with the moment of the month. We're going to start with you, Ishan. Okay. Your moment of the month.
My moment of the month. Well, I've got a younger brother who is 10 years younger than me, and we look very, very similar to each other, to the point where people think we're twins. And he often goes to a lot of my gigs. And after a gig, another fellow comedian went up to my brother and said, "Why aren't you deaf?" Which is such an odd question, because do you have to go through the whole genetic makeup? How can you answer that question with any kind of... And then she came up to me and she said, "I found it really surprising that you and your brother look the same, but one's deaf and not the other." And I said, "Well, why should that be a thing?" She said, "Well, because I thought you were twins." And I said, "Well..." And then you just... you're lost for words.
Then, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably my moment of the month. It was absolutely...
No, I think that's the general unknowing public who just have no idea. They're sort of assuming that if one is, then the other must be.
Must be, yeah.
We should explain, it's sheer coincidence that both Steve and I individually found guests this month, and so it's not a deaf special, as it were. It is. Although I'm curious, because I've said on previous podcasts, I've now been tested and I've got to start wearing hearing aids. There's certain bits that I'm not getting. Whenever I'm doing public speaking, I can't tell whoever's speaking to me from the audience. Yeah. And I went through Boots, but now I'm going through NHS because they're so blooming expensive. They were like £1,500, £2,000.
Yeah, they're very expensive hearing aids.
But the thing I think I'm going to be, the leap for me, it's a bit like using a scooter for the first time when you realise you've got to change something because it's not working. And that idea of hearing my voice slightly differently, I presume this was slightly different for you, Charlie, because I don't know.
Yeah, I've always been this deaf, you know, since I was born. I've worn hearing aids since I was two. And when I've actually changed hearing aids, one of the hardest things to get used to is how your voice suddenly sounds really tinny or high or low.
Yeah.
And it's really bizarre for the first sort of month or two. And then you sort of settle in and get used to it, you know, your own voice again. You accept your own voice.
You were saying it's a deaf special. It's a bit of a strange one, isn't it, really? But
by chance.
By chance. But we were talking about this before, and I was putting myself in a bit of a situation by saying... hearing impaired. I was talking to you about this before the show, actually, and you firstly said to me that's not the right way of saying it. And when I spoke to Charlie, you kind of said the same thing as well.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because the terms used so frequently that really growing up, that was just, you know, it's a term they used, you know, and people describe me that way. Yeah. But I remember one time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I wrote an article, and in the sort of the beginning of it, some text was added saying hearing impaired journalist Charlie Swinburne. And so when I added this article to Twitter, all of a sudden I got this really angry response from all these people saying, you know, you can't use that term, hearing impaired, from other deaf sort of Twitter users. And I realised there was a strong feeling against it in the community.
So the word impaired, because it's that implies it's a disability.
It implies there's something perhaps wrong with you.
Right, yeah, rather than saying it's... so you would say instead... deaf,
hard of hearing. I describe myself as being partially deaf now.
Right, so yeah. It's the word partially, right. But is that the same with visually...
I've heard that some visually impaired or partially sighted people have started moving against the term impairment as well.
That's got into its own VIP now, visually impaired person, which...
Oh, nice.
I have found out for customer services people, they get very excited because they think a VIP is coming. where are you on this? Or is this not a big thing to you?
No, well, semantics matter because I don't know, Charlie, if you've ever found this, but people who come across us being deaf people are slightly surprised that we... quote-unquote, talk normal, right? And so because people's definition of what deaf is completely, you can't hear a thing, they don't quite understand that being partially deaf means we're wearing hearing aids. Have you ever found a situation where you've had to prove your own deafness to anyone?
Yeah, I've had that. I mean, people just saying, oh, you know, I didn't realise you were deaf at all. And, you know, and then it's almost like you've got to then say, well, I did miss what you're saying. Yeah. And try and reassure them.
And it's really, I've had a situation before where I've said to people, look, I'm deaf, I'm partially deaf. And they said, well, you don't sound partially deaf. And I said, well, how do I prove it to you? It, literally, they'll go, we'll take your hearing aid out. But if really? I took my hearing aid out and they said something, I could be anyone and say, I can't hear it. As a test, it's not particularly convenient. But yeah, I mean, I would prefer people to say that I was deaf or partially deaf rather than hearing impaired, because the beauty of having a hearing aid is my hearing is kind of repaired. I can actually hear stuff because I have a hearing aid. So I'd rather be deaf than hearing impaired.
But it does seem to be a lot of politics. I mean, as in Steve Day used to do stuff about being small D or big D and getting into trouble with everybody about certain things. But
big D and small D being...
Well, if you're
our token non-disabled person, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, within what it is, a small D. Go on, Charlie. No,
within the deaf community, if you've got a big, if you use the word deaf with a big D, then it denotes that you're culturally deaf, i.e., that you look at deafness positively. You almost certainly use sign language, and you see it as a cultural thing. And the small D is more referring to people who. You know, being deaf is perhaps a medical issue that they feel like they would want to change, roughly. I mean, I'm speaking roughly, but there is so much discussion around the terms that we use. And as Ishan said, you know, people assume that a deaf person should be very deaf. Or sometimes they'll go to people I know who are sign language users, profoundly deaf, and say, you know, well, they assume they should hear something, you know. Yeah. And the assumptions work both ways. And it's quite hard, you know, with such a spectrum, it's quite hard to actually say to deaf, one term that people will understand straight away is how deaf you are.
Charlie, moment of the month for you.
Well, that has brought back a moment from a few days ago, and it was my daughter's sixth birthday party, and as one parent was dropping off her child's last one, we had about six children over who were friends of my daughter's. Just she was dropping it off, and she said, "Oh, it'll be all right for you because you won't hear the chaos of the children, you know. Oh, you'll be fine for the next hour or two." And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And I don't think she quite realised that maybe a very loud, chaotic environment is actually much harder.
Yes,
if you're wearing hearing aids, then you know, then if you can hear and actually, you know, tune out some of those sounds. Yeah. So
So your natural hearing will select it. That was one of my other bits about the hearing aid. It's going to amplify a lot. Although it seemed that some of them now are pretty clever. You can set them to 15 different settings.
Yeah,
but
that's
is
right.
It still, it's not as good as that, I guess, is what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, that's right. I think even the best ones now, it's not probably not close to normal, well, what you say was normal hearing.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Because I think when people who don't wear hearing aids, they seem to be able to tune into certain conversations. I've never been able to do that.
Right.
Especially, you know, to be fair, this birthday party actually was quite calm, and I probably did turn down my hearing aids at one point during the dancing and musical statues game. But then that was fine. But I think that moment just brings back a bit of people. I think she meant really well, but people not quite understanding what deafness really means, what wearing hearing aids means.
Yeah, and it's also that little awkward attempt at humour that doesn't always work. And we've heard it a thousand times. You're like,
Yeah,
absolutely.
You sent a little clip, which I looked at, which was some young school children doing, was it a sign song? Frozen.
Let it be.
That's Beatles.
That's
Beatles. What was it?
Just a popular.
Let it go.
Which I've not seen the film or heard the song, but I know it now. But they were doing the bit that I was watching them doing it, and then they talked about how calming it was. They do it first thing before they start their lessons. It looked like, I hope I'm not going to get in trouble with you, it looked like people doing Tai Chi in the park, in this really relaxing movement just kind of getting themselves ready for the day. It was great.
Absolutely. This is the St. Mary's School for Deaf Girls over in Ireland, and they do, they just look so calm. And I imagine doing an hour of that before they start school must just make it much easier for their teachers, because they just seem so in the rhythm of the music and absolutely tranquil.
We should put a link up on that on the website.
I went to a wedding very recently where the bride is a sign language interpreter, and their best man was completely deaf, and he did his whole speech in sign. And it was so brilliantly done. He did the whole speech in sign, and they had someone interpreting for us all. And what was brilliant was he was signing and trying his best to get the timing of his jokes absolutely spot on. So he'd pause, and then he'd do the sign, and it just worked brilliantly. And you talking about that, those kids doing that, just reminded me of that. It was brilliant.
In reverse, that's quite funny, because we sometimes have an interpreter at some of the shows.
Yeah.
And so people in the audience, people who are not deaf would hear the punchline first, and the interpreter would hit, so you might get a delay in laughter.
You get two sets of laughter.
That's the other way around, I suppose.
I think he's probably aware of that. He's probably thinking, I want to make sure everyone laughs at just the same time. Maximise comedy value. So I think this is someone who's he's already thinking ahead.
It was very, very good.
Thank you, Charlie. Mr Best, Steve Best, our token non-disabled person, any disability stuff?
The thing is I tend to find it quite hard, because we were talking about this before, is that my moment of the month, I've got to find something that's disability related as well, and coming from a different perspective, I suppose.
Is it because you don't care?
I don't care, really. Not that much. No, I do. But I actually had it's slightly related, I suppose, is that I'm a terrible snorer. Okay. And I've already gone through all the kind of procedures, and then I had an operation to cut the uvula. I think it's called the uvula.
Right, I'm not sure what it's called.
No, it's not.
Good pronunciation.
Yeah, is it that? Yeah, it's very not good. Turnaround, it's not the other spelt differently, an anagram of something else. But, and then I went again this morning, and they said that I might need to do it again, because it hasn't really helped. Right. Because it's my wife. That sounds very old-fashioned, my missus.
Yeah,
she's having more problems than I am, because it doesn't affect me. I asked the doctor about how far you have to go before it becomes a disability, because severe sleep apnea is classed, I think, now as a disability, because you go into a deep sleep and you just wake up straight away with your snoring, or you can't breathe.
Do you feel you're being discriminated against by your wife?
Well, definitely. Yeah. I'm on the settee every night at the moment. But she's wearing earplugs, so she's blocking out, so I'm making her, giving her a disability in the sense that she can't, but for her own good, in a way. We're trying to find earplugs that will really block out the sound.
Yeah.
That's very difficult.
Yeah, but I think you might need to play something through an iPod that sort of overrides, like the noise cancelling. They play something that gets rid of all the other noise.
The doctor said as well, there's an app, there's a white noise app.
Yes, absolutely.
You can play that, or there's a relaxation stuff. And you can get sleep headphones where you can have music playing or something playing throughout, so you don't hear my snoring.
Or Let It Go all night long.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? And sign as well. That'd be quite quiet. White noise.
White noise of Let It Go.
Are you going to still be able to do the role that you're currently in, though, if you're in the gang, the disability
club? But no, it's not me. I think I'm making her in the gang.
Rather than sleep apnea.
So I haven't got sleep. I had a test about sleep apnea. I haven't got sleep apnea.
Denial. He's in denial about his disability, everybody.
But they cut more of my tongue out, then I might not be able to speak.
So. I love the idea of Steve trying to work his way up to a disability. Just to fall back.
It's the only way.
It's a process, isn't it? You've got to keep working at it.
Keep working. You'll get there one day.
Thank you for that.
Any others, Mr. Best?
Well, there's not. The other one, me and you went to see Edward Scissorhands.
Yes, we did.
And he has a disability because he's got scissors.
For hands.
This was the sort of the ballet version of Sadler's Wells that was on over Christmas.
Which is wonderful. It was fantastic. Oh. It really was very good. But I just thinking about the Tim Burton, I think you said there's a co-writer as well.
Yes, for the film, the screenplay.
And I'd wondered how and where he came up with that disability of putting scissors on hands.
Now I know a bit more because I watched the film and did a bit of research, and so there's, well, I'm going to get it wrong, but in essence there's this sort of scientist type guy who brings this boy back to life,
right,
but various bits and bobs, but then he dies before he finished the hands. So he shows him these hands in the film, but they're kind of attached. But unfortunately, what he left on was a lot of scissors, which is kind of a weird substitute in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my theory was that sometimes they'll deliberately do a non-disability, although it's a disability-related story about being isolated and not accepted, but they did something that was so far removed from anything recognisable. Do you know Edward Scissorhands?
Yeah, I love the film.
Yeah, but did you think there was a disability thing going on there?
Well, I think, as you say, there's probably a few films where you see characters who are just a bit different. And
yes.
Like I guess it's a bit like the Ugly Duckling kind of story where someone doesn't quite fit in.
Yes.
But I think as people with disabilities, I think we can often relate to that feeling of being a bit of an outsider, being a bit different. And for me, I do relate to Edward Scissorhands in that way. Albeit I don't have, you know, those kind of issues. Signing would be quite tricky. You'd hear a lot of clanging.
Yeah,
clanging.
Yeah.
If you're doing finger spelling, you know, you'd just be like clanging the fingers together all the time.
So, Simon Minty.
A quick sort of serious one, which was just a little nod. Stella Young, who died on the 6th of December, she was an Australian disability advocate. We dedicated the last show to her. So it was all a bit of a surprise. She was only 32. She'd been part of Abnormally Funny People, our Paralympic show. We talked about getting her on the podcast here. We were going to do a sort of international call. And she won Melbourne New Act or Newcomer of their comedy festival last year, which meant she was coming over to the UK and we would have got her up to Edinburgh. And it was just really sad. I mean, it sometimes happens with disability, these amazing people, and they just suddenly disappear. And it was just like grim and horrible. But there's an amazing kind of tribute to her online, if you want to see it. Maybe we should put a link up to that.
I think we should.
It's part of the wake. And there's another comedian who just does a 10-15 minute talk about it, which is just, it's one of those you cry but you laugh and you just think, oh wow. But she was awesome. So yeah, sadly missed Stella Young. My slightly more silly ones, when we finished the last show, Steve Best, I drove home, but you were walking home with Liam O'Carroll, who was one of the guests. Now, my lip walking's getting more and more limited, and I'm talking about having hip surgery and so on. But I was driving, and you two were walking, and I just couldn't believe how fast you were walking. Now, were you walking more quickly than normal? Is Liam a fast walker, or was that a normal pace?
Just go back a second. So you didn't stop and say, do you want a lift? You saw us walking.
Carried on driving anyway.
Oh, boys.
There was two things. I thought about tooting and stuff, but then I thought Liam might all get a bit confused. There was another bit that you were like 200 yards from the tube station. I couldn't turn right. It was all very complicated.
It is.
And I'd only seen you 20 seconds before, but I just couldn't believe how fast it was. Am I just so slow now that I've forgotten?
Might be a bit of both there. But I think it's a London pace for me, and I just, whenever I start walking, I walk London pace. But and I don't think there's any, once Liam just holds your arm or your shoulder, there's no feeling of him holding you back as such. You're just walking at the same pace.
Same pace, yeah.
But then we had your birthday meal, and now I've realised if I go to a restaurant and the person who's showing you to their table, I'm in this dilemma. I don't know if I try and go first so I can control the pace. If there's six people behind me, are they all thinking, man, this is slow, we're taking ages to get to this table? But if I drop back and be the last one, then I'm like, if they go too fast, I'll never find out where the table is. I suddenly realised...
I'll get lost.
Yeah, I've realised how slow I am. And it was... I think everyone, if you're walking with someone slower, you just slow down. It was only when I do go to places with you, Steve Best, and I realised, wow, you walk fast and I'm not around.
But I think I walk exceptionally fast. Because when you go on holiday or something like that, you realise that no one's walking. It's just a London pace. I think people in London generally walk too fast.
So how did Liam cope with it? I mean,
I think Liam,
he didn't even think about it.
Yeah, he's from Kingston, so maybe he's a little bit slow. He got a bit out of place. I think he if he holds on to, he didn't feel uncomfortable.
Him.
He wasn't holding me back, or I was guiding him, but he wasn't saying slow down and like that.
So there's some kind of beautiful synchronicity of movement between the two of you.
Yeah. Like, with his stick, he was. Like a horse, he was smacking me to go faster.
I'm going to watch all three of you leave at the end of the show. Can I squeeze two quickies?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. I went to the Royal Albert Hall for King's College Choir carols just before Christmas, which is the best thing if you want to get Christmassy. Although some of the carols are a bit heavy and you don't kind of know what they're singing. But okay. There was a few popular ones.
Like heavy metal-y?
Oh, no, that would have been a new twist. But we were trying to get in, and I couldn't play the disability card by jumping the queue on my scooter. I was with a friend, so we had to walk all the way around to the end of this queue, and this queue took us 2 minutes, even at your pace, a minute to get to the end of it. And I was nearly there, and there was this guy blocking the middle of the pavement, and I couldn't get off because there's a drop curve. I'm on my scooter. So I said three times, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse, that's four, excuse me, really loud, and he didn't move. So I sort of hit him with my scooter. And he went, and did this massive overreaction sort of thing. And anyway, we joined. I said, I'm ever so sorry, really sorry. And we got to the end of the queue. And my friend looked at me and went, you did that deliberately, didn't you? And I went, yeah, I had to. And I didn't know, I kind of thought, well, actually, nobody else uses mobility scooters. But there was a point, I don't know whether the deafness, is there a point where you just go, I'm going to have to push them, or I'm going to have to do something?
But hang on, go back. But what if he was deaf?
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, you see, that's the whole disability dilemma again, isn't it? The hierarchy.
Yeah, I'll put you into one there.
He's got a slight limp now, I noticed. Yeah. But,
so now he's limping and deaf.
He's a limping chicken.
A limping chicken.
You've given him an extra disability.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, okay, then we just had a clash. But then, should he be more. Should you constantly look around you? That's what I want people to
do. Is that your expectation? You expect us to look around and be more aware of our surroundings.
If you're a deaf person, can you constantly scan for wheelchair user scooters?
I think it's your scooter, buzzer is like a buzzer, isn't it? Because it's not very loud. So you haven't got that horn. Is very.
You need like a sort of like a taser effect sort of thing on it. So
that's very extreme.
Yeah, but not non-painful, like a little minor electric shock.
Yeah, just to give him a jump or something.
I think it doesn't matter if you're deaf then. Or, you know, blind or anything.
Or maybe just something like a comedy arm that comes out and pokes them on the shoulder.
That would be good.
I think that's what we need.
You get wheelchairs at Rise, don't you? Although, by the time
I think we should go to Dragon's Den with that.
Yeah.
Let's go to.
But did he acknowledge that you had been there? Or that
if I'm honest, he was kind of overplaying the pain bit, which I knew it wasn't that painful. I only nudged him.
Yeah. I wonder how many times that's been said in court.
This was very quick. Gogglebox. Do you watch Gogglebox?
I've not watched it, but yeah.
This is a show where members of the public are watching television programmes, and we watch them watching television programmes, and they just comment. And it's kind of funny. They have some really nice sort of outspoken things. But there was one where they're watching a property show. And this property in London was 6'2" wide. Oh, you saw this, Charlie? You're nodding.
Yeah, I saw this one.
So what's that? A couple of metres wide.
Right.
And they basically called it the Alley House. It's just a long, thin house. 6'2" wide, that's nothing. And they showed it. And then one of the families, the mum, looked and went, God, blimey, even dwarfs would have a problem there. And then there was just this pause. And I was waiting for some sort of dodgy joke or some comment. And then one of the sons looked at mum and went, I think you find dwarves have a problem with height, not width. And I just loved it. I just thought, that's so cool. There was nothing unnecessary. It's just a nice little put down, but smart. And I like that.
That's great.
That's good.
If you're enjoying the show, why not leave us a review? Log in on Audioboom or iTunes, rate the program, and leave us feedback.
We have a new section in our show, Abnormally Funny People podcast. Questions. Weird and wonderful. Ishan, what's your funniest disability joke? Have you got a funny disability? I know you do stand up yourself, so do you do a joke?
I do a joke about wearing a hearing aid and going into job interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So I am British Asian, and I am from a Muslim family. And I do a joke where I say I go into job interviews, and I can see the HR manager in a corner going, tick, 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 and then whispering, please be gay. Please be gay. Please be gay. And then top it off by saying that I get every job I apply for. It's so easy. As simple as that.
That's very nice.
I have heard there's a theory, they're sort of the 2x2 theory. So they want two of everybody. So if you could bring your brother and he could ham it up a bit.
Absolutely.
They'd be loving you.
That's the thing. And wherever I've worked, people have always said, you do realise you're only here because you've ticked every single box we could possibly hope for.
That's harsh.
It's charming. A sad indictment of my working abilities, I think.
We were going to ask you about a disability card and whether you've ever played a deaf or a disability card and you need something to advantage. Take it even more broader. Have there been times... Do you think, seriously, you get little advantages? if you tick all those boxes.
For ticking all those boxes. I wouldn't say... Okay, so I wouldn't say advantages, necessarily. It's perceived advantages. So when I first started working, I started working for a bank. I was working for a major bank. And I had a couple of quite good years. And I said to my boss, look, I want a bit more responsibility because I feel like I'm doing quite well. So he said, OK, let me think about this and I'll come back to you. And I worked in a bank in a building where there were 300 members of staff and I was one of two Asian people. OK, so it was... Broadly white, Etonian, that kind of environment.
And they did have the two, you see.
They didn't have the two. See,
yeah. Him and his brother.
Yeah, me and my brother. And then this was brilliant. We came down for a meeting and he said, fine, I found a job for you, which gives you more responsibility. I said, oh, what's that then? He said, I want you to be the UK Private Bank Diversity Officer.
Brilliant.
I said, diversity for what exactly? And he goes, well, you can talk to other ethnic minorities and any other disabled people about whatever issues they have. And I said, well... I'm the only disabled person here, and there's two other people. What do you want us to talk about? And he said, that's the job. Find out and tell us.
That's extraordinary.
So that's happened.
Charlie, do you have a joke, anecdote, something amusing?
I do. When you asked me about this, I was sort of thinking, oh, what can I come up with? Because I don't know very many jokes, unfortunately, apart from ones that my daughters enjoy, and they're 6 and 4, so it's probably not suitable for this podcast. But I do have an old deaf joke that I remember growing up, which, to be honest, I'm not sure how much I like this joke, but it does perhaps say something about deaf humour. And I certainly did laugh at the time, so I thought I'd pass it on. Okay, here's the joke. It's a wheelchair user, a blind person, and a deaf person go to the top of a mountain to be cured in a magic well. The wheelchair user is splashed with water and is cured, and he stands and pushes away his wheelchair, watching it career off the hill, crash at the bottom, before running all the way down. The blind man is splashed with magic water and he's cured. He throws away his cane and it shatters into pieces on its way down the Rocky Mountain, and he then walks down. The deaf man then gets up and he dunks his head in the water. He lifts his head up and says, I can hear! I can hear! And he then pushes the interpreter off the cliff. So that's the joke. And it hopefully doesn't say too much about deaf people devaluing interpreters. But there is always a bit of a love-hate relationship between deaf people and interpreters. And I think that's kind of what's revealed by that joke.
Ishan, you would throw your hearing aid off the side
of the cliff.
I would,
yeah. Straight off the side of
the
cliff.
Well, that's not so funny, though, is it? That's the problem.
The hearing aid, for me, has been a brilliant weapon, almost. Not a weapon, weapon's the wrong word. So let's say if I'm having... The best way to end an argument with my now ex-girlfriend is to just take my hearing aid out. It annoys them no end, and I have so much fun doing it. So now whenever I find myself in an argument, I'm just... So I'd, even if I was cured of deafness, I'd keep my hearing aid and pretend to be deaf just so I could do that one thing.
I think I'd be really sad.
That's playing a disability card,
that. Yeah.
I think if I became suddenly hearing for some reason, I think I'd kind of hold my hearing aids and I'd probably do this movie thing of looking at them really sadly because they have been my constant companions. And, you know, the last thing I do every night is put them by my bed, and in the morning, the first thing I reach out for and just feel is my hearing aids. And I can feel them. I know which one it is. I know it's the right ear or the left ear just by feeling them.
Yeah.
You know, because it's been 31 years of wearing them.
Yeah.
So in a very strange way, I wouldn't throw them off the cliff. I'd probably put them in some kind of glass box and frame them or something, and I'd feel very sad about probably not wearing them anymore. Having windy, cold ears instead of warm, moist ones with an ear infection.
Contact us by telephone or text on 07756 190 561.
We're not reviewing products this month, but we are going to ask you, do you have a favourite disability, deafness-related gadget that you love, and not your hearing aids, by the way, because they're a sort of given, as it were. So is there something that you think, this is fabulous, this is such a great gadget?
I don't know if it's a great gadget, but I was given a hilarious gadget at work. So when I started my job, where I work now, we had normal phones, and I need a phone which amplifies the sound so I can hear what's going on. And the HR person brought along a phone which I can only describe as a catch-all disability briefcase. It was a massive thing, and they had huge numbers on it, a huge screen, and my iPhone was next to this particular phone. And she kind of looked at me, and I said to her, well, I understand, but it's a really big phone. And she goes, yeah, but you're deaf. And I said, The size of the phone has no bearing on me being able to hear.
What it's a huge speaker.
Yeah, it's got a huge speaker. All I need is a normal phone with an amplification. Look, I'm using an iPhone. And then she goes, well, how do you use the iPhone? I said, why are you asking me so many questions? Just give me normal. But that gadget, I took a picture of it. It took up almost a third of my table. It was massive because it was an all-access kind of phone. So there were big numbers. There was Braille on it. It was just trying to make sure that every possible disability was covered on that.
But is there something out there? Have you researched it? Is there something that you can get that's proper size?
And yeah, there are normal sizes. There are smaller gadgets which you can get, which you can plug into some phones and just amplify the sound.
Yeah, like a little speaker. Kind of.
And even with, I use normal smartphones and I can hear the sound as long as it's up to maximum. The only problem is that because I have to turn the volume all the way to the top, the rest of the world can hear what I'm talking about on the phone because they're quite loud.
You remind me, I saw my mum coming downstairs before Christmas and she was not doing it very smoothly. And I said, Mum, why don't you get another handrail? Put a handrail on the other side and that will really help you. And there's this sort of pause and then she said, I don't like those white sort of grab rail things. I don't think they're. I mean, I'm talking about a wooden handrail you get from B&Q or something, just like the one you got on the other one. But, okay, I'll do that. As if it had to be a different handrail. You can be the same as everything. Charlie, a gadget you can't do without?
Yeah, this is one that over Christmas me and my wife really enjoyed. We were driving around and visiting family, as you do, and we decided to put on some old 80s sort of CDs. So we had Dirty Dancing playing in the car. Nice. My girls really, really love that music. But the great thing is that my wife has an app on her iPhone that listens to the song and then automatically starts playing the lyrics in the same order as the lyrics that are being heard in the song.
Oh, right, okay, that's cool.
So you know where you are in the song,
yeah.
Almost like you're doing a karaoke.
Yeah.
And so my wife was able to, she's a bit more deaf than I am, but she was able to watch all these lyrics coming up and follow the song and know the lyrics for the first time in some cases for these songs she'd been listening to all her life. Obviously, I was driving, so I wasn't really looking at that, but I saw how much enjoyment she got out of that, and that's something, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's just a mainstream gadget that happens to have overlap. My only worry, I've had many a time where I've sung a lyric for years and years and then someone suddenly points out that I had got it wrong. And that always disappoints me.
Yeah,
so sometimes I want my own little weird words that I sing along that make sense.
But there's
sense
so many examples of the wrong words that
I grew up on those. I used to the Beatles song Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah.
I just went along one day, I was at school, I was singing It's About Right Girl. And I thought that was the lyric, I'm sorry for singing out of tune. But I was about 10 and I was just singing. My friend's like, what's this song? Eleanor Rigby. And he was like, that's not the words, But I just thought that was the lyric. That was all I could make out.
What's the right lyric on that? What's the?
Well, it's just, hang on. I've got to start this whole anecdote again. Sorry, I got that completely
wrong. You just wanted to sing, didn't you?
No, it's Paperback Writer. Sorry.
You sang Paperback Writer.
And what was the lyric?
So it should have been Paperback Writer. And I thought it was, I just couldn't work it out. So It's About Right Girl.
Oh, it's about her.
It's About Right Girl sounds like a sort of One Direction type, a boy band type title rather than the Beatles, although they were a boy band.
Yeah, I think I just assumed since those words were in all their other songs that was the right phrasing of it.
That's great. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you again to our guests, Charlie Swinburne and Ishan Akbar. Thank you for coming. Before you go, what you're up to right now? Not right now, but as in right now.
I am comedying, so I have a number of gigs coming up over the next couple of months.
Are you back to RADA at all?
No, I'm not. Hopefully I will be. But I've just got loads of gigs coming up and excited. I've written loads of new material, so I'm looking forward to 2015.
Lovely, lovely. And Charlie?
Well, I'm making a documentary at the moment, so I'm doing a lot of work on that. And it's about deaf identity. And that's for the BSL Zone, which shows all kinds of deaf TV programmes. I'm also editing Limping Chicken, keeping busy with journalism and things like that. So, yeah.
Did you see the documentary Grayson Perry did just before Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely.
A deaf family. And I was kind of excited. I thought Grayson Perry kind of got disability deafness difference quite well. But I only remember afterwards I read a few comments that some deaf people weren't so impressed. I can't remember enough about it, but did it go down well or was it...
I think it did go down well because he seemed to really get what the deaf people in the documentary feel about the deafness, about it being like a cultural part of their lives. And since then, I've met quite a few hearing people that have known me for a long time and have known the kind of work I do, and they sort of said, oh, really, that programme really brought it home to me, it really made sense.
Brilliant.
And I think Grace and Perry found a way of communicating it to a wider audience really well.
When's your documentary out?
It should be out probably around April, May, towards the beginning of the summer.
Okay.
If it goes well. If it's a disaster, you never hear anything about it again.
Brilliant. Well, thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So just the one entry for last month's competition, and I think, listeners, you missed a trick there, as there were some very good products. Thank you to Tanya Lee Davis, who entered the competition to win the USB charger, which we can't let her win this because she was actually on the show reviewing that particular product.
So congratulations to Kate from London, who wins the talking alarm clock, which she says she will give to her friend Tim. As mentioned, we also have the USB charger for your scooter and the hydrant water bottle. You can check those out and other great products on reallyusefulstuff.co.
We have heard from a few of you, and we'd love you to email or drop us a line whenever you can. I got an email from Angela who said listening to our show was often very reassuring, which I thought was really nice and a little bit worrying. But thank you for telling us. And a new listener, Phil, who loved our live show last month. That's still available, so go back and check out the big jamboree we did at the O2.
And we heard from Dave again. Do you remember Dave?
I do remember
Dave. He won the Bug Buster that catches spiders without killing them. And we keep hearing from him.
Like in his Bug Buster.
It's very nice.
All the information and the links we've been talking about will be on our website, abnormallyfunnypeople.com. And do send us things. If you want us to review something, a film, a book, play something, just let us know. You can leave us a voicemail too. Send a text on 07756 190 561.
And as always, a transcript of this podcast will be on our website too.
So thank you again to our guest and to our producer, Anne, and guest producer today, Matt.
And thank you all for listening.